going on, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick edition. And boy, are we kicking off quite the week.
It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. First and foremost, we have our Ask Nick episodes, which you guys have just tuned in for. We're excited to have you. Sorry about last Monday with the episodes not being available for a couple hours. People had to pay for it. Don't worry. Lives were lost. But we got you the episode, and we are happy that things are up and running. This will be the first of four episodes this week. We have two Bachelor recaps, one coming, well, as soon as they're done. You know, like, we're going to get them up as fast as possible, but we're operating with a lot of content. Recapping night one of the Bachelor finale, the wonderful Christina Harris will be with us. I will be coming directly from the AFR studio after I've given
a red
my
eye.
poignant thoughts on Clayton and the mess he's created. Does he continue to demonstrate some of this anger and scary behavior? I've thought about it more, and like, I don't know.
Based on who you know is showing up with you, like the other alums, are you like?
I don't know who else is showing up.
Oh, I was gonna wonder, like, are you like the alpha? Are you like the team leader of alum?
I don't really think in those contexts.
Okay. I just didn't know. I can just see you like sitting in the middle front seat of like a bunch of Bachelor alum just like holding Clayton accountable.
I don't know how they perceive me, but I just.
Yeah, that's. Are you like the uncle?
Bachelor Nation. The fun uncle.
The smart uncle. The insightful uncle.
I don't know. But Christina Harris will be with us recapping it. She is a massive Bachelor fan. If you don't know who she is, she is funny and interesting and has a lot to say. And that's what we like on our shows. Night two, Allie Barthwell. You know her. You love her. If you haven't listened, you know, our Ask Nick audience, I'm sure many of you listen to the recaps. If not, jump aboard this week. You just might as well.
Oh, my word.
Allie Barthwell will be with us. And then we will be getting, I don't know who we're getting, but we've been told that there will be angry and upset with Clayton. A scorned person, if you will. I don't know if it's going to be Susie. I don't know if it's going to be Rachel. I don't know if it's going to be Gabby. It will be one of those three ladies, and they will be coming directly from the hot seat of AFR to that couch right over there. With, I assume, still a lot of emotion.
Piping hot emotions.
And quite frankly, probably new emotions, because while they did wrap filming not too long ago, as I've said before, the season doesn't end until after the AFR. And, you know, did Clayton end the season in a relationship? And then is he still in the relationship? Because could he have pulled a switch? I mean, I think there's a lot of options, and reactions will be
Heightened.
The tea will be hot.
Yes.
So that will be coming out early Wednesday morning as well. So make sure you listen to them all. Ladies, anything new?
Well, do you remember I was telling you about that random guy that I matched with on Hinge that DM'd me on Instagram?
Yeah, the guy who was in a... Did I convince you to follow up?
So I opened it, yeah, because I was going to respond and not be rude.
It wouldn't have been rude for you not to have responded.
Okay. So I did realize, because I went back to our DMs, we switched from Hinge to Instagram DMs starting on July 28th.
I was half figured being like, I did realize that he sent a dick pic or two.
Nope, that would have been a hard left.
Oh, that's why I got it.
Sure. Yeah. The last thing we talked about was him getting a gum graft procedure.
What? A gum graft?
What is a gum graft? And I had asked him, oh, gum sourced from yourself or a cadaver? Because I'm me.
Sister in med school check.
Well, it's like my family has a lot of receding gum issues. So several of people in my immediate family have had this surgery.
Do you overshare on first dates?
No. Like, I do. How is me asking where he's getting his gum source from oversharing?
No, but like telling about your family's gum history might be a mild overshare on a first date.
I don't think it's that she's oversharing. I think it's that Allie has unique experiences. Yeah. So it's like stuff that. So it's not that she's sharing something ultra personal. It's
I'm
just
very
that she's
open.
Sharing something unique.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm very open.
Great.
Very open.
All right.
So the last time we talked was on August 2nd when I asked that question. And then he DM'd me yesterday and said, hey, you.
Wait, so he didn't answer the gum graft question?
No, he did not. No, he did not. And I still don't know where he got his gums from.
He was like, this is weird. I'm going to wait 4 months and give her another shot.
Yep. Hey, you, how is life treating you? And then at 6:09, I said, it's been good. How about you? And I haven't heard from him.
Is it seen?
No.
Okay.
I just think it's, I looked back at that text and I was like, wow, I really did ask that question. I think it's funny that it gave me a second shot.
That could not have been a funnier last message to send.
Gum sourced from you or from a cadaver.
He's going to do the same thing and scroll back and be like, oh, yeah.
You're like, oh,
totally. Gum girl. That was the last message. Like, he clearly saw it before he slid on in.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I made an impression.
He's definitely, like, just fishing. But that also could be fine.
He's got some new gums. If he wants to put them to the test.
If he doesn't respond, like, by today, I wouldn't waste your time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Because this,
like,
reminds
if he waits
me
a week to respond.
The other guy who did this that, like, yeah, popped up out of nowhere after going silent, and then we, like, exchanged two more texts, and then he went silent again. I'm like, what is the point?
Yeah.
Other than, I don't know. I was going to offer another. There was none.
I am going to Vegas with a man I recently met.
Bar guy?
Yeah.
Bar guy?
Yeah.
That's going to be his.
Why not? You know, I was going to go to Vegas.
Why not?
I was going to go to Vegas already for
the season of dating yourself.
Going to Vegas.
You know, I think it is. I would argue that going on some interesting experiences, creating some stories. Like, I don't think this is going to be like a romantic night in Vegas. I think it's going to be like a crazy bender.
Yeah.
Which I think is a way of like.
Oh, that's your excuse?
It's not intimate. It's drinking.
This isn't about love.
It's We're going to
fuck in
bad
a
choices.
Really weird way and probably do some drugs. There might be a sex worker or two that are involved.
I'm not.
How can we make this not about
is
us?
Is this why you asked where I was staying in Vegas?
Well, no, I was just curious if you'd ever been because I hadn't been before. I was going, I'm going for a friend's like.
Oh, you can take him to he'll love a Jim Jeffries.
Yeah,
that's a good little date.
Yeah. That's the plan. And then my friend's having a birthday.
What happened on Friday night?
I'm not talking about it.
you gave in.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't actually. No, I didn't.
Did you get together?
No.
Oh. Then what's the problem?
It's okay.
You don't want
to
put
Nick
it out.
Nick is alluding to the fact that I was canceled on Friday.
It happens to the best of
it's
us.
It's fine. But you.
Sometimes you get canceled on. It's not a big deal.
He followed up with a trip to Vegas. So.
No, I think the trip was your idea.
Well, yeah. He followed up with like making plans. And then I was like.
We should go to Vegas?
No, I said, what I said was, I was like, I have a crazy, probably infeasible proposal. And then he was like, okay, whatever it is, yes. And I was like, hold your yes. It's a lot. And then
are you driving?
You just suggested Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you driving?
Yeah.
Road trip.
I've never driven to Vegas. And weirdly, I don't know. I feel like that's.
You're not poor.
I feel like if you got on a plane together, it would be more. Serious?
Yeah, seeing someone at the airport is intimate. So
when they
intimate.
Take their shoes off.
But you're also taking a road trip.
Yeah, but people are shells of themselves at the airport.
Okay,
I think
airports
are fun. We'll see if I make it back. I think it will
be. I think it'll be fine, right? You're not no murdery vibes.
No, not murdery vibes.
I think you'll have fun.
I'll share my location with some friends.
Yeah, you should probably do that.
I'm available.
I'm sure you'll have fun. But, like, if you don't, that road trip back.
That's a good point. Although, at the end of the day, I think, I feel like.
You can push through things.
I took a lot of Uber pools in college. Yeah. I took a lot of really outrageously long Uber pools where I ended up talking to a lot of different Uber drivers. So, I think at this point.
You think that gives you training to, take a five-hour drive with someone you've had, like.
Terrible sex
with. Awkward, terrible sex and got into a weird fight over nothing?
I was going to say, you didn't fuck anyone in your Uber pool.
First of all, I think we'd only do one of those things. And second of all, I don't think it will be. You can just play music. I'll throw on an audiobook. I'll throw on a self-help audiobook. I don't give a fuck.
She starts the Vile Files. Episode one.
That would be.
I think it's great. Have fun. Be safe.
Thank you.
Hey, on you goers out there, you podcast listeners, you just don't listen. Some people are busy doing other things. I find myself to be at the stage of my life where if I'm not good at things, I don't try to be. I just have other people do it. And if you're not a person who likes to be in the kitchen, you're not good at preparing healthy foods, and you don't want to eat out and have junk food all the time, well, Sunbasket is right for you. Amanda, tell us all about Sunbasket.
Okay, so for context, I am that girl who always gets the scallops at a seafood restaurant. That is my go-to food. Mm. I saw that was what I tried from Sunbasket. Delicious. And it was just, it had like a good side. I saved the side, had some of that. It was like a good like couscous situation. Saved that for lunch the next day. And it's just like, I didn't expect to get like really high quality seafood from meal delivery, but it was awesome. And I cooked someone a dinner and got a lot of brownie points for that.
Their award-winning chefs are constantly innovating with new recipes and global tastes to keep it interesting each week with dozens of options, vegetarian, paleo, gluten-free, or low-carb, or high-protein options. Sunbasket has something for everyone. They check every box. Set up weekly delivery and skip a week when you need to. It's simple, easy, and you'll love it. Right now, Sunbasket is offering $90 off and a free gift when you order. Go to sunbasket.com/VIALL and enter promo code VIALL at checkout. That's sunbasket.com/VIALL and enter promo code VIALL. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees. Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, has no overdraft fees, foreign transaction fees, monthly fees, or service fees. With over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens, 7-Eleven, CVS, you can access your money when you need it, where you need it. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash out fees for them. So make your first good decision of the new year, or make one of many good decisions you've made by joining the over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up today. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't reflect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/VIALL. That is chime.com/VIALL. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by The Bank Corp or Stride Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. Well, we have a great episode for you, so we will get to it. Don't forget to set in those 5-star reviews, especially on Spotify. It's super easy. If you're listening to this episode on Spotify, just go in and tap 5 stars. That's it.
And if you always hear Nick say this and you're like, I'm going to do that one day, maybe make today the day you do it.
It's so fast. It's a trigger. 2 seconds.
And do I need validation for my ego? Yes. I can acknowledge it. Like,
he cries.
I don't cry, but like,
we don't need to do a Clayton situation here.
I didn't cry.
I did cry. Or on iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you all week.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Good.
What's your name?
I am Rachel, and I'm 27.
How can I help, Rachel?
So I'm a digital nomad.
Okay.
Meaning I work around. I travel around and work remotely for my company.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's more common recently. I feel like I've seen that more out and around. People like, I can work remotely, so I'm going to live here for a month and then there for a month and kind of see the world while work. Is that kind of what you're
doing? Yeah, the pandemic kind of let me do that because my company is a lot more relaxed now. And I can work remote from wherever.
So. Good for you. That's awesome. All right, cool.
So I spend around a month in each place. And as a way of meeting people, I turned to dating apps. I met some great guys on there, but there was one in particular in December that I met. Him and I really hit it off on our first date, so much so that I went back to his place that first night. The next day, he texted me that he tested positive for COVID.
Did you guys hook up or you just like hang out?
We hooked up, okay. Yeah. Right. So then I also tested positive. So we decided we might as well quarantine together.
Of course.
Yeah. That week also happened to be Christmas. So I spent Christmas with this guy who I just met and away
from my family. Okay, there we go. Wow, that's wild. Yes. It's one for the books. I'll say that, you know, no matter what happens. It's
yeah.
All right. Well, then, okay. So you spent Christmas. You had great first date. You had some good sex. Got COVID. That sucks. Then you spent Christmas quarantined with this guy. It's like being on The Bachelor. All right.
Yeah. Pretty much. So then even after quarantine, we spent kind of every day of that remaining month together. On the last day, I kind of realized that, you know, I kind of like this guy. And I told him I wasn't really ready to say goodbye to him. And I told him I'd like to see him again. So he responded saying, yeah, like, you know, I agree. And maybe I'll come to wherever you are next. So I'm currently back in the States. I have to be here until mid-April to take care of some things. And then I'm heading back out then. So we've been talking here and there. But honestly, like, it tends to be me reaching out. When I do reach out, he's very responsive and interested and, you know, asking questions, excited to talk to me. But it's me every time.
So I want to pop back to quarantine.
Okay.
Like, how intense was that? Were you guys like hooking, like, were you just like sick and watching movies? Or were you like asymptomatic and like just hooking up like crazy? And then when quarantine ended, I'm curious, like, did you guys have any conversations about like, hey, that was intense, but like, hey, we also don't know each other. Like, what were there any like next steps of like what's going to happen now that you spent literally Christmas and like a week together, like living together? Like, what were those conversations like?
So I guess to answer your first question, we had like a cold.
Okay.
So yeah, we were hooking up, but we were also, you know, just watching TV and kind of pretending like we lived together.
Yeah.
There wasn't any conversations about what we were doing.
There wasn't.
No.
Okay.
But, you know, once we were done with our like 10-day period, we kind of just took it outside and we went to bars and, you know, did things in the city together. Yeah. But yeah, there was no conversation.
And then since then, things have kind of slowed down.
Yes. So we're in two very different countries right now. He did, 2 weeks ago, he asked me to come to Paris. He booked a ticket just like out of the blue because it was $30 to go. And he's like, oh, you should come too. But I kind of took it as like a backhanded invite because I'm in the States. I feel like, I don't know. I just kind of took it as a backhanded thing.
Is he American or is he like, you meet him in Europe or something?
He's from New Zealand, but he lives in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting wrinkle because, you know, you're this digital nomad, right? I think what you need to do, and I think something that you failed at doing and something, even if this doesn't work out, that you need to start doing for yourself is that you have to be courageous enough to like have some upfront conversations with, you know, you got to stop playing it cool with people that you're interested in, especially everyone does, right? Even if they like live across the street from each other. But in your case, there are such easy outs for people and for yourself to be like, oh, well, I'm traveling. Of course, like the assumption with someone like you is that you're off to somewhere else a month later. So it's so easy to assume a casual relationship with a person who seems to like not have roots anywhere. Like, especially like, you know, you're not committed to even a place, let alone, you know, so someone be like, well, why would I didn't think you'd want to date me because, or want to be anything serious. So if you do, I think you're most likely to be the one who probably has to just say, hey, this is nuts. We spent Christmas together. I still plan on traveling, but I had a great time with you. And I haven't met someone like you before. And I want to keep I want to keep investing in this. You don't have to be like, I want you to be my boyfriend. You just say, how do you feel? Do you feel the same as me? This is what I want, you know? And yeah, I think checking in more would serve you well because your unique situation offers people so many outs, you know? And like, again, you're like the extreme. Anyone listening, I would give the same advice to like, if you get caught up in a situation, you guys getting COVID, spending Christmas together, that like you just decided to embrace, but you recognize that it's probably not, you know, super healthy. It's like people who go on The Bachelor and they get engaged, right? I can't speak for every conversation that people have. I've been in that situation and that conversation goes something like, well, we're engaged. But like, let's slow down. Let's get to know each other. Let's take the pressure off what engagement means to one another.
I think most couples have that conversation of like, listen, I do love you. And I meant this engagement, but like, I think we're okay to just not put pressure on each other. And I think that that's a conversation people have, because that's such a crazy, you know, like way to fast forward a relationship.
You're, right.
In a lot of ways, yours is no different kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And I don't want to like put pressure on him that I want this big relationship. I just want to, you know, say if I'm going to Greece in April, like, will he come? You know,
but
I don't
you need
know.
To tell him what you're interested in, not ask him what he wants. You know, you hear me talk about all the time. And so you're the one traveling, you're the one who's chosen this life, and that's awesome. That's so cool that you're like investing in yourself and seeing the world. It's what allowed you to meet this guy. But you need to be the one, if you know what you want, to tell him. Like, you're it in the game of tag, because you know what you want. And that is, I want to learn more about this guy. I want to I want to spend more time. I've liked everything I've had so far. That might change, but I do know that. So I'm not going to sit around and wait for him to like hopefully tell me the same thing. I'm just going to tell him and see what he says. Because you know what? I don't know what he's going to say. If he doesn't do what you want, you will be sad and disappointment. Yeah. And disappointed, yeah, sure. But at least you can start to move on. Like, you don't seem like you're like, I'm obsessed with this guy. I can't live without him. That's not what you're saying. You'll be bummed. And then you'll go to Greece and like meet a really hot guy from Greece.
Right.
You know? And it'll be fine. But at least you'll be available in Greece. If you don't have this conversation and go to Greece, and then you're still like wondering if like maybe he'll show up and maybe he'll surprise me or maybe this, then you will take yourself off the market, which people in these like situationships often do. And this has turned into a situationship, right?
Yeah.
A romantic connection where, and you're the hopeful person and you're hoping, you know, he hasn't really defined himself as single yet because it's unclear because of these like unique variables. He could easily be just being like, I don't know, I just want to play it cool. And he could easily be using this as a cop-out, but you have to go for it. You have to put yourself out there. Especially when you feel like an invite to Paris. Out of context, when you're like, a guy invited me to Paris.
Yeah.
Most women would be like, wow. And literally in my dreams. And you're just like, yeah, but it felt like he didn't mean it. you know? I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying like, You did get invited to Paris, but you have such a unique situation. You need to be the person who gets clarity for your situation. You can't be relying on other people to give you clarity that you want. That's on you. That's on us.
How would you go about having that conversation since we can't do it in person? You know,
I mean, FaceTime them, Zoom. Don't do it over text.
Okay.
I mean, if you could do over text, I don't recommend it. And I wouldn't like, this is not some big statement. It's like, hey, we need to, I don't give them the, we need to talk.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, I we haven't talked about this. I've really enjoyed my time with you. And I still have plans on, and all I'm saying is, it sounds crazy, but like, I want to learn more about you because I see potential with you. Do you see potential with, like, do you see potential with me? We're talking, that's what it is. You're talking about potential.
Right.
And if he gives you the, you know, like, thanks for saying that, but like, then you know, and just so you know, if your ego, if you get rejected, your ego will be triggered and you can convince your ego, like, and it might be true. Maybe your situation you're in is too much for him to handle. And you know what you say then? You just say, okay, well, let me know if that changes. I'm going to Greece. And then you, again, like any other situationship, you don't chase him. You go live your life as if you like don't miss him and see if that sparks a response from him to be like, fuck, what am I doing? She is great. Like, I am going to make her a priority. I'm going to make sacrifices. I am going to like go out of my way. I'm just not going to reach out to her when it's convenient for me. Don't make it convenient for him.
Right?
Like, that's how you know, like everyone's always like, how do you know if they like you? When you don't go out of your way to make everything super convenient for them to hang out with you, because like you don't really know why they're hanging out with you. I'm not saying be a pain in the ass. Do what you want to do. Give him the window that he has and don't be like, hey, come if you want. Just be like, I want to know if you want to come. Otherwise, I'm gonna go meet some other guy from Greece.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not taking myself off the market for someone who's not going to take himself off the market for me.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
But I definitely don't think you need to like do the whole we need to talk and make it like some big heavy right. conversation. Just yeah. throw it out there. Tell them that you are interested, that you see the potential, and you don't know what that potential means, but you just want to like keep hanging out and you want to go out of your way to see, you want to go out of your way to see him and that you hope he feels the same way about you and see what he says.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
And in the future, if it doesn't work out, like, you know, 50-50, this doesn't work out. Next time you, you know, meet someone and you get caught up in a situation, don't be afraid to like check in. Don't be the cool, like, it would have been appropriate for you guys after quarantine to be like, well, that was nuts. How you feeling? You know?
Yeah. I guess in my head, I was thinking, you know, it's only been a few weeks. Like, am I crazy to?
Again, you're not saying let's get married. You're just saying right. you're acknowledging what happened. We spent every day together. We've been hooking up, getting naked, having sex, spending fucking Christmas together. There's yeah. a level of intensity that like we shared as a result of the situation we were forced in. And I just want to let you know, like, I had a fuck. This could have gone terrible.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how you bring it up. But like, we could have hated each other.
Yeah.
And we didn't. In fact, I kind of like you. And like, I don't know, like you live in Scotland. I'm in traveling the world. Clearly, like we're not like, I'm not saying let's run to the altar. I'm not even asking, I'm not asking anything. I just want to know if you see the same potential in me as I see in you. And see what he says.
Yeah.
And then the next conversation might be like expecting a little bit more and setting more boundaries. But like you saying that after 2 weeks is more than reasonable when you've been like getting naked the whole time. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable. That doesn't make you crazy.
Like, yeah.
If you get naked with someone, you have the right to like check in. yeah. Like this new bizarre world. We're just like, I don't want to be pushy. But how are you feeling about me? Meanwhile, you know, you're naked.
yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let us know how it goes.
Will do.
All right, thanks. Take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Hair story. Whoa. Hair story. It's all about that hair. And the founders of Bumble and Bumble and a team of hair industry vets with decades of experience have created the wonderful thing that is Hair Story. You could argue some shampoos and conditioners do more damage than they do good, but not with Hair Story because it's all about replenishing your hair to make it as vibrant as possible. Instead of detergent, aloe vera juice and a suite of essential oils and extracts wash away what you don't want and preserve what you do want. It's loved by beauty editors, hairstylists, and hundreds of thousands of customers. Talk about your Hair Story experience.
Well, I've had a lot of people visiting me lately and like staying at my apartment. And I always feel like you have to be a good host with like specifically the bathroom. You have to have like your towels and like get them a razor and get all their stuff. But I have friends with very different hair textures and I don't know, different scalp needs. And I have had each of them use Hair Story the past like 6 weeks. And all of them have talked about how soft their hair has felt. And I've like watched Caitlin when we went out to dinner, just like touching her hair. And I was like, that's Hair Story for you.
I don't think you need a better testimonial than that right there. So if you want to get on the Hair Story train, check out Hair Story at hairstory.com and use my promo code VIALL and you can get 15% off your first purchase. The code will be applied after customer creates an account at checkout. That's HAIRSTORY.com and use promo code VIALL to get 15% off.
What's going on?
Hi, Nick. My name's Elizabeth. I'm 32 years old.
How can I help, Elizabeth?
So I'm having an issue with my sister. And I wanted to get your take on it. Basically, what's going on is she has a 40th birthday party coming up. Uh-huh. She asked me if I would be down to go away for the weekend for her birthday with some other people. I told her, yeah, sounds good. Let me know the details when you start figuring things out. So she hit me up a little while later. I found an Airbnb. She sends me the link. It says $5.99 a night. Tells me that there's going to be like 5 to 8 other couples going. And so I'm thinking $5.99. Two nights between 8 couples, like that sounds doable for me. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it sounds good. I hear from her. I hear from her a little bit later. She's like, it's going to be $420 per couple. And I'm thinking that's more than I was expecting it to be. So I tell her that. I'm like, why is it that much? I thought it was $5.99 a night. She goes, well, that was advertised price, but it was more expensive for the night that we were going to go for my birthday. okay. Gotcha, okay, talk to my, talk to my husband. He's like, ah, that's like a little more than we thought, but okay, like, let's do it. Then I get contacted by her a little while later and she's like, oh, it's actually going to be $460 a night. And I go, okay, why is it more money? You said it was going to be $420 and I just need to know, how much everything's going to be. If it keeps going up, I might have to rethink it because we're in like a tough spot this month financially. I just am purchasing a car. So I put a deposit down. We were on a vacation at that moment. So, and we don't do that that often. So we're spending money on a vacation, taking time off work, not getting paid. And then trying to get out of debt. We have other stuff to do. So we're just, I just sort of explained that to her. So she goes, all right, if it's going to be, I'll just pay the extra $40. If it's going to be, I don't want to deal with like the drama or the negativity. So I'll just pay it. So I just tell her, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just in a different weird spot financially, but we're going to be there. It's going to be fine. We ended up Venmoing her for the full amount. We talked about, we're like, okay, let's just do it. It's fine. Right after that, we ended up getting in like a tiff, her and my other sister, about something unrelated that had to do with my mom. She's staying with my mom, her husband, and her two kids for a full day. She was watching her kids. There was stuff all over the place. She tripped over a high chair, broke her wrist. Me and my other sister were kind of upset that she was tired from watching the kids all day and then even had something to trip over. So I contacted her and her husband and I was just like, hey, can you guys please not leave mom with the kids for really long periods of time? And can you not leave stuff around that she can trip over? I don't want her to get injured any further or be taken advantage of or anything like that. And they were just saying like, all right, thanks for the feedback. We're not taking advantage of her though, but like, thanks for your feedback. And then that was it. I didn't respond. I just wanted to say something so that they would think twice and hopefully that wouldn't happen again. And then that sister that's living there with my mom, the one who's having the birthday party, sends out this mass text saying like, it's none of your guys' business, what we do. If we want to leave the kids with our mom, that's my business. If we want to, they're allowed to leave the occasional toy out, you know, don't tell us how to parent, you're crossing the line. So I didn't respond to that either. I was just like, all right, I'm not trying to get in a big fight. Her and my other sister though are going back and forth. I don't respond. So then—
Is everyone fighting later, with each other or are there sides?
My two sisters are fighting with each other. Okay. I'm on good terms with my sister, who does, it's not her birthday. We're fine. And kind of on the same page about being worried about my mom. And then, my sister, Maria,
like thinks you're cheap.
Yes. Yeah, so the one who thinks I'm cheap, she's kind of upset with me now because what happened was, this is like the main thing. She hits me up again after this fight saying, hey, it's going to be, wine tasting is going to be $150 a person plus tip. So it's going to be another $360 that me and my husband were like, oh, we did not realize it was going to be that much plus food. So this is now like $1,000 weekend and we were not expecting that.
That's a lot.
So yeah. It feels like a lot.
It all depends on everyone's situation, but I don't think for the average person, that's a lot. That's a vacation.
Yeah, especially for a group trip.
Yes, thanks. That's what I was thinking as well. Because when I told you how we were on a vacation and we spent $1,000 for the entire 8 days we were there. So we saved up for that. So we're like, whoa, that's another $1,000 for just 2 days, 45 minutes from my house, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I talked to my husband. He's like, I think that that's going to be too much. That's not what I was thinking. That's a little bit too much. We don't really have that. We have it, but it's not like something that we were budgeting for. That's too much for us to spend on a weekend. So we call her, she doesn't answer. Me and my husband both text her, hey, you know, we're really sorry, but financially we can't do the whole weekend, but we want to be there all day Saturday to celebrate your birthday. So just Venmo, keep whatever you need for wine tasting and tip and Venmo us back the rest.
She bought a leather jacket or something. I'm just kidding.
Because I'm going to treat myself for my birthday.
She's like, sorry about that money. It's gone.
It's gone.
anyways, what happened? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
So she does end up Venmoing us back the money. And then it seems all right. She's like, okay, fine. Here's your money. But then she sends me a screenshot to me and my husband, and it's a screenshot of a text conversation between her and my other sister. And she's basically telling my other sister that she got into a fight over me with her husband because her husband was telling her, you know, I wouldn't plan anything with her without cash in hand. She's going to disappoint you. There's going to be drama.
Your other sister said this about you.
No, my sister, whose birthday it is, her husband said that to her about me. And it was a fight, and she stuck up for me and was saying, no, she would never do that. And so she was telling my other sister about it in a group text.
Well, how did you respond to that?
When she sent me the text?
Yeah, because my question would be, why? What's your point of sharing this with me?
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely.
Did you want to let me know that you had my back? Or are you letting me know that my husband was quote-unquote right? I mean…
I know. I think it was like, probably a combination of the two, knowing her, and maybe a way for her to see if she can kind of get me to go. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what your older sister's older. So is she more like financially stable? I mean, she's older, so maybe she's had more years to, you know, I don't know what her husband does, or I have more money now than I did when 8 years ago, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how far we are apart in age too, 8 years. And she's much more stable. She has multiple homes. She owns a business. She has another job.
Yeah.
She's in a good place. And like,
so she's completely out of touch with knowing that if you have multiple homes, this is my humble opinion.
Yeah.
And you want to invite people to your event, your party to celebrate you.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do a destination of some kind, you either invite people that you know can afford it no problem, or you offer to like pay, or don't go. Like, and again, like I have a lot of siblings, you know, so, and not all of them in their same financial situation that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I don't plan destination birthdays for myself and invite my family. But if I did, mm-hmm. and I wanted them all to be there, there's some of them I would be like, you know, as a son, you know, like, Wherever I want my parents to be, I pay for, because mm-hmm. well, they gave me life and everything I have. But that's just my choice. I'm in a very fortunate situation financially right now with my life, and I'm very grateful for that. And so mm-hmm. I try to be mindful of that. I'm not Robin Hood throwing my money around, but at the same time, like, if I want to celebrate me, like, fuck, with family, and I don't want to assume, like. Anyway, that's just me. I don't know.
That's kind of how I felt. I will say this though. When the price was initially that $420 and I asked her, wait, why is it that much? She did say it's actually going to be like over $1,000 a night. It was on a different, you know, it's more expensive for a weekend and fees and whatnot. She was like, I'm actually paying more. I forgot what she said, but she's like, I am paying more, but, so she is like paying more than everybody else, but yeah, but she's like still
that's
a lot. Like,
that's all relative.
Yeah, it is relative.
You know, she might be paying more, so she thinks I'm paying more, but that doesn't change how something may or may not be affordable to you.
Yeah, definitely. You know? And I, or like, I wish I would have.
You could kind of check in and like just be like, if I'm your sister, at a minimum, I'm just like, hey, this is something I'd like to do. Is this like reasonable? Like, if you're asking people to spend money. I mean, what's interesting about this call, a lot of people have different opinions about this. Yeah, everyone mm-hmm. listening is in different financial situations. But I think, I mean, I know there are some people, like if you have like a birthday party and you invite people to your dinner, when we were younger, all your friends would like nut up and like, let's all pitch in, we'll split the check and we will pay for the birthday person. When you're mm-hmm. older, I mean, there are people who are just like, if you throw your birthday dinner for yourself, you pay. You pay for the dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. You're celebrating. You want your friends to be there, you know? It is your, like, I want to be around special people. So, like, yeah, come over for dinner and I'll buy, like, if you throw a party for your birthday, you know, you pay for the food and you bring it over. Your sister's mm-hmm. 40 with a second fucking home. You mm-hmm. know, she's not in college, you know, asking her, like, closest friends to come out and I'll split the check. I'd love to see here. You should call in for a mediation. We need your sister on this.
I know. Yeah. I was worried about that because I just don't know how she would respond. If you try to, I don't know. She's like a tough one to communicate with sometimes. I mean, we don't get in like a ton of fights, but when we do, it's really hard to have a normal conversation with her. That's why I usually like just try to avoid fights completely, because just getting into it usually makes things worse. That's what her and my sister are doing now over that thing with my mom. And they like start insulting each other, low, below the belt kind of comments. It just turns really bad. So I avoid it. So when she did send that screenshot, my response was, there's not going to be any drama. It's going to be really fun. We just can't afford the whole weekend. And we're really looking forward to it. And my husband responded saying, you know, sorry that you guys got into a fight over that. We don't mean for you to fight over us at all. But, you know, we can't do everything we want to do financially. And I need to be careful for these reasons. And we'll be there. And we're really excited. She's like, you know what? I appreciate the response, but you guys can always make more money. It's just money. She was
your
like,
your sister
you could,
with a second home said you can always make more money and it's just money.
Yeah.
That's awesome yep. of her.
She's like, you can't get these experiences back or family or memories. And my husband was like, well, you know, that's true. That's why we are going to be there. We just can't be there for the entire weekend. So now she's not talking to me. I saw her once. She's very standoffish.
Weekend hasn't happened.
No, it's 2 weeks from now. So of course I'm feeling guilty, and I've brought.
I mean,
it up to
I'm
my
only
husband.
Hearing your side of the story, but I'm like, I don't know if I've ever been more 100% in someone's corner.
Really?
I am in yours. I mean, again, I'm not saying you're lying, and Eddie, it's just I'm only hearing your side, and I am so.
Well,
your sister could not be more wrong.
Everything that was discussed in text message, and I sent all of those text messages. So, like, literally everything.
I
haven't spoke to her in person about anything. So what you're saying is what's happened.
I just like think about it. Like your sister again. If you have a second home, you're in a good position relative to the average like American, and you're just. God, have the self-awareness not to tell people how to spend their money or what's affordable to them. Or it's congrats for your sister and her husband that like making money is so easy for them. And again, I recognize that I'm in this thing called Cameo. I don't know if you've heard of it. And sometimes I joke around when I like waste some money. It's like, I'll just have to wish someone a happy birthday. I'm in a very fortunate position that I can like, you know, people enjoy me wishing them a happy birthday. I get self-conscious about it. Seems silly, but I'm blessed to have that happen. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that. And I don't just go around like calling up my sister or brother who are in very different situations and different walks of life and different ages. And they're maybe in between like maybe quitting one job and following a passion that might like require them to take a little bit less money. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? All these different variables. Yeah. And I think it's fucking nuts for anyone in your sister's position to just assume that or not recognize their how good they might have it and tell other people close to them how to spend their money and just be like, oh, you just make more money. And then even though you're trying to go to her birthday event, even though you're like, listen, this is still money, but we're going to be there. Now she's like giving you the cold shoulder prior to leading up to her birthday celebration. I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't fucking go. Like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not spending money to be fucking miserable around you. That's what I would. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
Might be a little bit more spiteful than you. But where do we
have these? I have thought about that, like what it's going to be like if we're there. So I'm wondering if I should try to have a conversation with her. I don't want it to be awkward and dramatic. I'm not going to be dramatic. Neither is my husband. And if we're there, what would be dramatic is if she's giving me the cold shoulder, being standoffish. And if her husband makes any kind of little comments, because he's very, he's really fun and like jokes around, but he also has no filter and will just say anything. So, I mean, I'm just wondering if there going to be sort of like some comments.
I mean, you know your sister better than I do, but it's just so weird. You know, this reminds me of a story. Like when I first moved to LA, you know, there's a lot of like interesting people in LA. And I met this guy who my financial situation was very different back then than it is now. And I was hanging with this guy who lived in this community called Olympic Village, beautiful house. He clearly was doing well. At least even if he like spent all the money he had to show his wealth, he was still doing well. He referred to himself as like a billionaire at the time. Definitely not a billionaire. He would talk about his money all the time. And then he would like invite women to like sit with us and then and I wasn't even eating. And then he'd want to split the check. And then he would call an Uber and then have a split an Uber. It was just the most nuts thing. It's just like you're talking about your money constantly, but you want everyone to split. And that like reading your sister's text, that's what kind of reminds me of where she's just like, I have all these plans and we're going to do this. And this is what I want to do. Keep in mind, this is not like a family event where like your sister's organizing said event and she's like taking like notes from everyone. What do you want to do? What are you interested in? What do you like to eat? No, your sister is just like planning her favorite weekend, asking people she wants to spend it with to be involved, and then like charging them.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? Because she has like her like, she has what's on the menu. She's just, sorry guys, I'm spending a lot on this vacation. This is yours. I'm really excited to celebrate and I agree to 420, but I need to be mindful of what I'm spending and set boundaries or I'll be screwed. Everything adds up. I hope you don't take it too personally. Love you. Just a lot of things that came up in a short period of time. I'm really excited about your birthday and I'm budgeting for it. The food, the wine tour, and a bunch of, and I'm ready for a bunch of Sunday. I'm ready for it. Excited. Yeah. Someone hearted the message. I'm assuming that your sister.
Yeah.
Or, and she responded back, hey, I need to know who is in for my birthday, including wine tour. And this is like a group. Oh, this is you. This is you and another person.
Yeah.
Let
that's
me know
a little bit later.
And Venmo. Yeah. So she just hearted that message and then kind of like sent to your sister, like basically who's in, who's not.
Yeah. At a later date.
Conversation, who's coming. You remind her again, hey girl, sorry, but we're financially can't do the whole weekend anymore. We want to celebrate your birthday, like you said, I'm sure. She responded, so basically what you said. Oh my God. You're going to love this.
What?
You already know, but I'm going to also keep an extra 20 per person for tip because they automatically add it. She is nickel and diming everyone, Mrs. Second Home. Done. You have your money. Okay, thank you. You are too kind. Sister's a terror.
I also just think the fact that she wasn't upfront about the cost of it just shows that she's really not operating from a mindset of like, this could be a big financial thing for people.
She thinks she's being upfront.
Yeah.
But like, what's 80 bucks to one person is completely different to someone else.
Right, and changing the price of like the accommodation and the food and everything else is just like, I don't know, kind of displaying that, like, even from the way she's communicating, it's evident that she doesn't really see your perspective or take into account your needs.
Okay, we know your sister sucks, so how are we going to handle it? So is that your question? Like, what should you do?
Yeah, because I feel really guilty. So there's been like…
All right, stop feeling guilty. You have my permission. I don't know if that matters to you to not feel guilty. You're clearly so kind and empathetic here. And like… I personally think you're being taken advantage of by someone who like it seems to be really only concerned about their birthday. She's a birthdayzilla. I suspect that your sister is like this in life.
I feel like things kind of are usually like on her terms. Yeah. Like I don't know if it's because she has kids and I don't, and she has like whatever the case is, but I feel like things usually are kind of on her terms or her schedule. And
you know what? I have no problem. I'm a self-sufficient guy. I do what I want when I want to do it for the most part. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect people to come along if they're not into it. I certainly don't make them feel guilty for not wanting to spend money they might not have. So if your sister wants to like do things in her terms, I don't have a problem with that. You know?
Yeah.
But like this whole like drama, like, I think the only appropriate response would be to your text of like, hey, we're not going to be able to hold birthday weekend. Would be like, hey, do what you can. I really appreciate you guys like doing what you can because I know it's not easy. I'm excited to be there when you are. Like that's literally the only suitable option your sister could have responded with.
Yeah.
That I think wouldn't have like meant that she kind of sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think then… I mean, I wanted to see what you thought, and it sounds like you're kind of in my corner. So you're obviously in my corner. So now if we're going to, I'm not going to fail on the whole weekend because, or just the whole thing. I'm not going to not go.
What do you think about the possibility of calling your sister?
Yeah.
Or saying, hey, you available for lunch? Do you guys live in the same area? Are you guys?
Yeah. I can just show up at my mom's and she'll be there. Yeah. So.
Nah, I don't think you should do that. I think you should ask her out to lunch. Or some a coffee. You could get on the phone at a minimum. Definitely not text and definitely not around other family members. Okay. And you just say, hey, listen. First, again, I love you. I want to spend your birthday with you. But it hurt my feelings that like, to be totally honest, it feels like you are dismissive of my financial situation and my husband. Is it your husband?
Yeah.
Financial situation. And like, I mean, what do you want? You want me to, you like, what do you mean? It's easy. Maybe it's not as easy for me to make money as it is for you. I hope to be in your position one day, but like, I don't feel like I should feel guilty because of this. I want to be there. But like, since then, it feels like you've been giving me the cold shoulder because I can't afford to do what you want on your birthday. And like, is that, I don't want this type of energy. Like, I can't afford what I am spending.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I love you, but like, not, you know, I would confront her a little bit. I would stand your ground, and you can do it in a respectful way. You can remind her that you love her. You can, you know, but like, you could, and then use the words like, it feels like, you know, this is how it feels to me.
What if her response when I'm saying it's just not something we can afford is, you can't afford it. I know what you make.
You
could afford it if you wanted to.
I would lose my fucking shit. It's not your right to tell anyone how they should spend their money or what they value. She's your sister, right? She's not your conscience, right? Mm-hmm. So she has no idea what you're into, what your hobbies are, what, like, she doesn't know everything about you. I don't know. Maybe you guys made a bad investment in Bitcoin. I don't fucking know. Like, mm-hmm. It's not her fucking place to tell you how to spend your money. And I would, if she says it, I would respectfully say, listen, with all due respect, I don't tell you how you to spend yours. Please don't tell me how to spend mine. You don't know our financial situation. You're my sister. Trust that I'm being honest with you, that this is mm-hmm. like a big ask and I'm trying to make it work. But like, life's not all about you.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to your birthday. Like, I don't know if I feel like, you know, picking up extra shifts at work. You know, I want to enjoy my husband, or I want to like, whatever. I don't have to explain myself to you. How about you just mm-hmm. say thank you for me trying to make it work for your birthday mm-hmm. and we'll enjoy ourselves. Because if you're going to make it miserable, then we won't come. And mm-hmm. listen, the good news is, as family, as she's your family. And sometimes they cannot talk to you for a couple months or whatever, but they're your family. Mm-hmm. So that's just how I operate. But I think it's important to set boundaries with siblings and family members and parents. They're never going to cut you off. And like, you're 100% right here. You just are. You do it in a respectful way. Let her know, you know, don't come at her, but like, I don't think you will. You're a very, you can tell you're very kind. And I think people take advantage of your kindness, to be totally honest. But yeah, I think the healthy thing to do would be to set a boundary and have a one-on-one conversation with your sister and respectfully let her know that like, I don't appreciate the way you talk to me or how you tell me to spend my money or, you know, like, but I will be at your birthday. And I'll spend what I can as long as like you can tell me that you're just going to be appreciative of and not be miserable. Because I don't want us to like come and be made to feel guilty or have it be a thing or hear like off-putting comments from her, from your brother-in-law. And mm-hmm. if she can't respect that, then there's a world where you don't go, you know?
Yeah.
Let her know. Mm-hmm. No, it's not okay. She'll come around.
That's really helpful. Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to talk to her. That's very helpful. Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
Very often people, you're 100% right here.
Woohoo. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I needed that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Take care. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
And I'm 25 years old.
How can I help?
So I have this interesting situation with kind of like work and personal kind of combined. About a year ago, I joined it's like a committee at my work. It's kind of like more along the lines of like we plan events and stuff for a wider business, but it's not actually like aligned with people that I directly work with. So it's people that are all around like my age planning events for like the younger population at work. Right when I joined, I noticed on like Zoom that I had actually matched and talked to somebody on a dating app that was on the committee. I didn't actually directly work with him, but that's kind of part of the story. So then life goes on.
Committee, like a
kind of. It's like we plan like fun events, like health and wellness events, stuff like that. So about a month later, I actually like see him out at a bar. Totally.
So you mashed on the app, but you guys knew of each other at work.
No, because I actually started in the role like right before I joined this committee. So I remembered at the time, I was like, oh yeah, he does work there, but it didn't like cross paths.
Is it safe to assume that when you swiped right, you thought he knew you worked for the company as well? Like,
oh, no, sorry, to be clear, we had matched like a year before that.
Oh, I'm sorry, you matched a year before.
Yeah, okay. So like before
and then you
we
got
even
this
worked
job,
together.
And you're like, oh, this is like some guy I matched with a year before. Okay. And then you saw him out. Okay.
And I saw him out.
Okay.
So this whole like one night thing, really nothing comes of it, but that did happen. And then a few months later down the road, him, myself, and someone else on the committee kind of like became friends. We all live in the same town. We started hanging out like outside of work. The whole dating app thing is one night thing is in the past. But I become really close with the two of them. We're kind of like a group of three. So a little bit further down the road, I'm closer with the other one.
Is it a guy or a girl?
Guys, two guys, me.
Okay.
So the one who is not on the dating app a few months later tells me that I think I really have feelings for you, all this stuff, and kind of becoming awkward because like we do all work together in the same floor, same setting. It's just like now we're directly not working on the same teams. But I had told him, like, look, I really don't think that's a good idea. Mixing like work stuff with relationship stuff. It's not like anything that I really want to complicate. Yada yada.
But the truth is that you just weren't that interested. Because if it was the other guy, you probably would have been like, well, like, what's HR's policy?
Right. So, well, not necessarily. I mean, it was awkward, like, after the first guy. Like, it was uncomfortable in meetings for a little while. Like, then we go back to the office. You have to see them in person. And it's always just, like, there in the back of your mind. But it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. So, yeah. So then this comes up. And I tell him, like, look, I don't want to, like, overcomplicate things with work. I just think that we should stay friends. You're a really good friend of mine. You mean a lot to me. So he decides that like he should pull away as a friend, like doesn't think he wants to be that close and everything. That's fine. We don't talk for a few months. A few months go by. He comes back. He's like, I really don't think I handled that situation properly. I would like to be your friend. I'd like to, like, I know we work together.
I actually disagree with him.
Yeah, I almost do too.
Feel like that's an inappropriate response. He shot a shot. Good for him.
Yeah.
You didn't want it. He needed to take some time. Like, it would be more weird for him to be like, all right, let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Exactly.
He shot it. And then he came back and said, you know, I've processed my feelings. I'm over it. I've accepted it. I feel a little less awkward. And like,
Right. So all good. He comes back. We're friends again. This has been the past few months. We got like really close, like just being friends again. We live in the same town. Like, we just hang out, like not anything weird, but like happy hours with other people, nothing like one-on-one or anything that would make it uncomfortable. But then actually this past week, we had the dating app guy is moving away. So we had a happy hour with other people from work. And I guess after I had left, he had mentioned to the one that I'm now friends with about what happened almost a year ago at this point. So he gets upset and he's like, you told me that you didn't want to like complicate things with people at work. And we, the three of us.
Wait, what did he tell him? Like, nothing happened.
He told him that we had hooked up one time.
Oh, you did hook up with dating app guy.
Oh yeah. Once. That was the one night that I saw
him. Oh, you breezed through that. You made it seem like, oh, I saw him out. And we like, you literally said nothing.
Oh no. Yeah. Okay. Once. There was nothing more.
So you met him out that one time. You had some sex, and then you guys just
moved on.
Like, you didn't talk about it. You're like, all right, whatever.
Right. Never talked about it. Never took anything further. One time.
Okay.
So now the other guy finds out this past week about it, and he gets all upset, like devastated. You lied to me back in the fall. You were like that. You weren't telling the truth. I was trying to explain to him that like one night breezing over it is a lot different than like when there's feelings involved and you complicate things.
Did you say to him?
So I said, look, I'm sorry for not telling you. First of all, I don't really like to talk about stuff like that, especially it's none of your business. Like I kind of said, like I don't necessarily even like say these things all the time to like people that I'm really close with. Like, let alone somebody that I work with, that I'm friends with at work. Like, I don't want you looking at me differently. It's like a really personal thing.
Oh yeah. Cause the response is, listen, I'm sorry you're upset. You know, cause
yeah,
I'm sorry you're upset is not an apology, by the way, but That is an appropriate time to say I'm sorry or upset because you have nothing to be sorry for. But you are sorry as upset.
Exactly.
And the point is, like, I learned my lesson. And I don't feel like it was your business for me to tell you about, like, my past partners. But that was part of the reason why I felt the way I did, even though you're kind of lying.
But exactly. But even, That's exactly what I said.
If you want to, if there's a lesson to be learned, like, you know, next time just tell the truth. Hey, listen, I'm just not feeling you. And I just don't see that. And don't bring up work. Because that was that was kind of an excuse you used. And maybe there's some truth to it. But like, if it was something you were really into, you would have figured it out.
Right. Exactly. And I agree with that.
That
and
being
this is, said, I have said all these
things. He is overstepping his place with the expectation that you were somehow supposed to tell him about your past partners.
Right. And like, we were not even, like, it's not like we're dating, we were friends.
Did you say that to him? Did you check him?
I did. So I did tell him. I was like, look, I mean, that's a personal thing. I'm not somebody that really goes and like talks about that stuff to begin with, whether, no matter who it is in my life. Like, we just, I'm not super open about it. It's a personal thing. On top of that, it was a little bit awkward after the fact with him. So that set a little bit of a precedent for me with people at work. Like, that's, I didn't want to experience that, especially on like a more serious level.
He got jealous and embarrassed about the story he heard from the other guy and took it out on you.
Yeah. So it goes a little bit further. So then he decides no more, like has to back away again. Doesn't want to be friends anymore. Whole thing all over again. And I'm like, okay, look, I understand. Like, this is clearly something that is recurring for you and I bother you to some degree. But now, and this actually just happened yesterday, it's been a little while, we haven't been talking, he comes back again and is like, I really value your friendship. I want to be friends with you. You mean a lot to me. I want to move past it and be close and be friends again. And I don't know what to do now because it's so awkward because I don't want to necessarily be like, hey, like, I don't want to be your friend or whatever, because we do have a lot of the same, like, I don't know, senior management.
He's not interested in being your friend though.
I know. And I can't tell, like, I really, truly don't know. I'm afraid that like either A, he's already at that point where he doesn't want to just be friends, or B, if he's not already, then he's going to be soon. And then I'm gonna have to go through it all over again. And
and you guys still work together.
We still work together and we work on the same floor. We have a lot of the same, like,
I mean, quite honestly, it's getting to the point where it's becoming an issue for work for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what
like we're okay, like, you know, like, harassment's a strong word. And the fact that he works with you just makes it, it's not harassment, but like, he is not being cognizant of the fact that you guys work together. He's not respecting the position you're in, and he is not, and he is being reckless with the positions he's in. Listen, he's got feelings for you. I empathize with the guy who, like, he's trying to just face this rejection head on. He hasn't done anything like terrible. He's human. We've all felt embarrassed and prideful. We all took out our frustration on someone who didn't deserve it. Like, I'm not trying to come down on this guy, but you gave him a second chance already. And the truth is, he confirmed the second time what you suspected maybe the first time, and that is, he's not really interested in being your friend. What he is interested in is keeping you around and close because he just has a crush on you, and maybe he even thinks and convinced himself he can be friends with this person. I always give Amanda, one of my assistants, a hard time that, like, she loves to think she can be friends with everyone she's ever dated. And, like, sometimes that's possible. But, like, you know, we're human. But for you, the fact that you guys work together, I don't think you have to do anything, you know? And I don't think you're going to or should do this per se, but I think you'd be within your right to take this to HR, you know? I don't know if you should, but I'm just saying, I think at this point, there's no wrong thing for you to do because you've been put in this kind of uncomfortable situation where you have to consider work is part of the equation. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a normal dating situation, you wouldn't have to be like, but I work with this guy. And the fact that you are thinking, but I work with this guy, so that might change how I address this guy, Like, you shouldn't have to be made to feel that way at a place of employment. Does that make sense?
And it does. And it's also like it's uncomfortable because we're in calls together. Like, I have a call with them in 30 minutes. Like, and we have to sit on
Zoom
together.
Is it just the two of you?
No, it's a few people, but it's, and then, I mean, I'm going into the office too. So we do see each other in person. We sit close together. He knows my manager. Like, it's like crossing these weird lines now where it's like, I don't know what he could say about me to people. Like, could it change my reputation? Not that I necessarily think that he would.
Are you actually worried about that?
Not really. I think I overthink. I get worried, overly anxious about things
sure,
like that.
Sure, I hear you.
But
I just don't think you should have to worry about that at all.
I don't think so either. And
here's what I would do if I were you. And again, like, we're getting into a territory that, like, I'm not an expert in HR policy or things like that. Yeah. So, like, take my advice with a grain of salt. But if I were you, I would give him the benefit of the doubt to talk to him, at least. I wouldn't just, like, go to HR and I wouldn't ignore him. So I would acknowledge what he said. But I would hold my ground and be like, listen, I think you're a great guy. But the fact that, like, this is the second time you're coming back into my life after you've decided that you couldn't be in my life, which I respected, but, like, I respected the fact that you couldn't do that. And the fact that you're now coming back in, I'm just not ready. I'm not in a position to just be your friend. Like, I understand your feelings were hurt, but you accused me of something that, like, quite frankly, wasn't any of your business. And, like, I'm totally fine to be cool with you. Like, we can be friendly. We can be chill, but we're just, I just think we're past the point of no return when it comes to, like, us being friends, because it just, I have no confidence that something might come up with you being triggered about the emotional, like, about your emotions as it relates to me or something to that effect.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, that reminds me now. The first time that it came up, it was because, like, we were just talking as friends and he was like, oh, what are you doing today? I was like, oh, I'm going on a date. And I started, like, going on dates with this guy. And then that's when he started pulling back and was like,
he's not interested in being your friend at all.
Right. So I'm like, okay, so what happens now if I start, like, dating somebody? Then do I have to deal with this over again?
I don't think you should be his friend. I think you can I think you can respond to him or not respond to him. You don't have to do anything. I don't think you owe this guy anything.
Yeah.
So I want to make that clear. And then if you do want to acknowledge his request, you just say, listen, I think you're a great guy, but I just don't think us, like, hanging out as friends is a smart thing, you know? He doesn't get to come and go. Like, that's...
Right.
You distance yourself from me as a friend 2 times now. And I think we should just leave it at that. Like, I think we can be cool if we go hang out at work. We work together. Like, I think you're great. I have no problem being around you, but I just don't know if we're ever going to be friends like we used to, because... Quite frankly, that I felt that situation was upsetting to me as much as it might have been upsetting to you. And I don't want to go through that anymore with you. And I think you just leave it at that. If he doesn't simply just respect that, then I think you have to start considering, like, protecting your reputation at work or, you know, engaging HR. Again, I'm not an expert in that. So maybe, like, talk to someone who's, like, a little bit more well-versed when it comes to stuff like that. But you shouldn't have to worry about that at work.
No, that's a good point. Is to, like, kind of take it as a, like, maybe we should be less good friends, just work, like, colleagues, and then...
No, I wouldn't even say less good friends. I'd say I'm, like, friendly.
Professional. Yeah.
You know, like, of course, I'm like, I think you're great, and I have no problem being friendly and then, like, interacting with you. Use words like that. And I would text it to him so you have a paper trail.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because... Yeah, maybe talking in person is not ideal then.
I don't think you should do this in person.
Right. Because
I do think there should be a paper trail of you trying to set a clear boundary with him.
I think so too, because I know him and I know how he is. Like, he told me that in this last little stint where we were not communicating, how horribly difficult it was for him, and that
I don't give a shit about his feelings anymore. All he cares about is his feelings. That's clear about this guy.
Yeah, and it does bother me. Like, I think about it because I, like you said, it crosses over to work, right? Like, we know a lot of the same people from a professional.
I think you're trying to be too cool about this. I don't think you should ever have to feel this way. You try to be cool, and if you want to give him the courtesy of, like, setting this boundary with him and asking him to respect that boundary and say things like, I think, you know, I have no problem being friendly. I've never had a problem being friendly with you. But as far as like being friends again, I think, you know, I think that ship is like, I'm not comfortable with doing that given what's happened in the past.
No, that's, I really.
Or you say like in the past, you were friends with me in the past and being friends with you, you judged my personal life because it didn't fit in with how you wanted it or something. I don't even know if you have to give him that much. I'd keep it very brief. Right. I'd almost keep it professional.
Yeah.
I'd want your text to sound have a hint of professionalism.
Yeah.
More than like a personal text, because I want him to get the hint that like you're thinking about work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And if anything, this entire situation has defended my stand on what I had said to him months ago. Like even just us being friends has now caused a disruption for me at work because of the dramatics we've gone through.
Maybe get like a, do you have any friends you know about like HR stuff? I don't know.
I do. But yeah, no, that's, I need to do that. And it's perfect timing because. But
have a paper trail, text it, and even have that response be brief and as much as it's professional as it is friendly.
Yeah. Keep it at something you could say in like a work setting.
Text people in the sense that if people at work saw it would come across as someone who is trying to set a boundary, who has dealt with this behavior in the past and is hoping not to deal with it in the future. That's what the tone should read. And I don't think you should worry about his feelings.
I don't think so either. I think I need to stop being too nice about it. I really have a problem with like I think sometimes I'm too nice and I try to let people back in. So,
and you know, and I'm not trying to just like come on this guy too hard or suggest he's some like terrible person. I think he's just getting too caught up in his own feelings. He's not being professional. He's being inconsiderate of your feelings and how it like relates. And he's not taking no for an answer in a really passive aggressive way.
That is exactly what I need to do. I just need to hear it from somebody, I think.
All right.
That helps.
Well, best of luck. I'm sorry you're in this sticky situation, but.
Thank you. It's okay. It's just the crossover between work and personal life can always get a little complicated.
Lesson learned.
No, seriously.
All right. Well, it seems like a relatively harmless lesson, but
it could have gotten worse. Yeah, you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, nip it in the bud, and I think hopefully you should be okay.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, what a great episode. Well done, us. Don't forget to tune in to all our episodes this week with Recap 1 with Christina Harris, Allie Barthwell, Tuesday night, and someone who's really pissed off after AFR will be with us to probably talk a lot of shit, and you won't want to miss it.